If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse here, anyway, and try to hold forth on it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I like this verse. It's got just about everything I need right there in one little thing. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, wrote this. And he wrote this to the brethren, to Timothy, a young preacher. But he is the apostle to the Gentiles, and that's us. He starts off this statement with these three words, and without controversy. What does that mean? Well, that means there is no controversy about what Paul is fixing to write, about what Paul wrote here. There's no disputing, there's no disagreement, there's no room for discussion, there's no vagueness here. There's no gray areas. There's no gray areas in the gospel. Period. There's no gray areas in the scripture. Now, we're plumb full of gray areas. And black areas, too. But there's nothing here that is controversial. It's without controversy. Confessedly. I will say this. There actually is nothing that the Apostle Paul wrote that has controversy. It's all without controversy. The Apostle Peter himself wrote that what Paul wrote was Scripture. He compared the writing of Paul to the other Scriptures, meaning the Old Testament Scriptures. Just like those holy men of old wrote, written, things were written as were inspired by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. Men moved and wrote. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing right here. And there are those who will take these things and wrest them to their own destruction. They always have. Even the writings of Moses, Walter. Those Jews in Jesus' time was looking to the writings of Moses. In Moses whom you trust. But Moses wrote of me, is what Christ said. In this verse, though, Paul introduces this verse with this statement of what he is fixing to write, what he is going to write, is totally and completely without controversy. There is no doubt of any word here. There's another one. You want to back up? He does this every now and then. I was listening to Lloyd Jones this morning on the way up here, and he's talking about the Apostle Paul, and he said Paul is about to pull out his adjectives. And then he said he ran out of superlatives later, which is easy to do when you're talking about Christ. In chapter 1 and verse 15 of Timothy, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He'll introduce a verse like that sometimes. And here he starts off without controversy. And without controversy. So what's without controversy? Great is the mystery of godliness. that is without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. This is without controversy. According to the Apostle Paul, literally, the word means big. Big, mega is the Greek word, from where we get our English word mega millions. If you're listening to the lottery people. Big in mass, big in weight, big in size, big in as in length, height, or breadth, big in stature, big in age, big in quantity, big in intensity, is what it means figuratively. Great, huge, humongous, enormous. Mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul called it a mystery. It's called hidden. A mystery is not something that cannot be known, but a mystery is something that some people do not know. Paul knew it. He's writing it here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost. I said it before, I'll say it again, I will repeat it ad infinitum. There is nothing wrong with the gospel. The gospel is perfect. The gospel is holy. The gospel is the word of God concerning his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, was, and always shall be with man. But great is this mystery of godliness. Paul stated in Ephesians 6 and 19 that he wanted to open his mouth boldly. What? To make known the mystery of the gospel. This is what bothers some people, you know. Last night, CNN had it on TV. Their Finding Jesus series. They had the Gospel of Judas on. It was horrible. If you really know the truth about it, it was horrible. The amazing thing to me is how they will not take anything in the scriptures as having any truth in it. But then they'll say, oh, we found this, and this means all this is going to change. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I heard what they talked about. What they found was a lie. Okay? There is no secret gospel of Jesus. There is no gospel of Judas. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the only gospel. Paul also wrote that. Put a few things in front of that. Though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel. Paul calls it the mystery, but he wanted to open his mouth boldly to state it. But man of himself will not have it. Even though great is that mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of the gospel. But a mystery is known to them to whom it has been revealed. But it's still a mystery to others. Now I looked at this word godliness because he says, great is the mystery of godliness. And the meaning of that word is piety. Okay, I had to look that up to make sure. Well, it's not a word you use anymore. And I'll tell you this right now, from what I learned, it's not a word that's used correctly anywhere, I don't think. Oh, he's a pious man. Have you heard that before? I know some of y'all are older than I am, older. It's an old word. It's an old word. Well, the literal meaning of piety is acting well in worship. It's not just that you walk around and you don't do anything bad.
Right.
Or it's not that you go out and you give money to charities. That's nice. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay? That's not piety.
Right.
That's not godliness.
Right.
What Paul is writing here, great is the mystery of acting well in worship. All of a sudden, this thing just got more profound. Because worship is something this world knows absolutely nothing about.
Right.
On this day, above all days, except possibly Christmas, there's going to be more people and more churches that have no idea who Jesus Christ is than ever do all year long.
Right.
And there's going to be preachers up there doing their best to convince these people to come back every Sunday. And they'll put on a show and they'll put up purple crosses outside the thing, inflatable ones. That's not the mystery of godliness. It's not even close. There are many mysteries written of in the New Testament. The mystery of the kingdom of God. Christ told his disciples, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He didn't stop there, though. He said unto them, it's not given.
Right.
Therefore, I speak to them in parables. There are going to be people preaching parables today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, Jesus wanted everybody to understand. That's why he preached in parables. And what Jesus said, that's not what Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, said. He never said that. He said, unto you it's given, and unto them it's not. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry. He put the difference there. I'm just repeating what he said.
Yes.
There's the mystery of the kingdom. There's the wisdom of God in a mystery. There's the mystery of believers being changed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There's the mystery of God's will. And it's a mystery to this world.
Yes.
There's the mystery of Christ. There's the mystery of the gospel. There's the mystery of faith. What? Faith's easy, isn't it? People think it is. They're wrong. But they think faith is the gift of God.
Yes.
Faith is a miracle. Yes. Faith comes only to those whom the Holy Spirit has given life. Oh, it's a mystery to this world. And here, Paul gives us the mystery of godliness. All godliness, all piety, all worship is in Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The Son, and nowhere else. There is no worship outside of Christ. There are none who worship outside of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between being in Christ and outside of Christ. There's plenty of lip service. Oh my. But Christ said this too. They honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He put a difference between some people. He came to set at variance families with each other.
That's right. That's what he said.
That's what he said. And guess what? That's what he meant. Great is the mystery of godliness. There's plenty of talk, but it's not the gospel being preached. The mystery of godliness is that all knowledge, all faith, all wisdom, all worship is only in the Son of God.
Amen.
There is no worship outside of Jesus Christ. What? None? None.
None.
Absolutely none. If you know Jesus Christ, you'll know the Father. If you know Jesus Christ, you'll know the Spirit. Only in seeing Him can you see the Father. Only in seeing Him will you know the Spirit. This is a mystery. It is unknown to the world. Even though the world thinks it knows it, they're wrong. Because they don't understand that there is no godliness outside of Christ. There is nothing outside of the revelation of God's dear Son in the gospel. Nothing. The true worship of God is in His Son, and true godliness is to believe that Jesus Christ is He. If you believe not that I am He, what's going to happen? Christ said it. He told some Jews this. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now I know that's hardly the uplifting Easter message of the day, but it's the truth of God, spoken by the Son of God to people who needed to hear it, and it was written down for us to hear and for us to read and for us to believe. This is great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God. That's Him. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, these three are one. There is one God, one Father above us all. There's one Son, the eternal Son. There is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. But Jesus Christ was the one who came. The eternal Son was manifest in the flesh. He was manifested on this earth. Now, this was not the creation of Jesus. This was not the creation of the Son. The Son is the eternal Son.
Amen.
This is where He was manifested in the flesh. Shown. Revealed, made known, appeared. Jesus did not begin with the virgin birth. He was the Word that was with God and that was God from the beginning. He's the Word who spoke everything into being. There was nothing that was created that was not created by Him. But He was manifest in the flesh here on earth. God was made known in the flesh. God was shown. The invisible God is now visible in Christ. And only in Christ. No man has seen God at any time. But if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. Now, is that a, what do they call that, a paradox? I don't care. It's true. It's true. If you've seen Christ, if you know Christ, you know the Father because they're one. We don't understand that kind of union because we can't have that kind of union here. The closest we come to it is our union with Christ. And that still falls far short of the union between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They are one. The only way God could be made visible is to be what? Manifest in the flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. I state this categorically. He did not come in sinful flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. There's a world of difference between those two statements. Jesus Christ did not have sinful flesh, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Isaiah put it this way. He said, he had no beauty that we should desire him. There was no visual treat for the eyes when you looked at Jesus Christ. Right. I know whenever they put him in a movie, it's some pretty boy. Mm-hmm. It's some guy. It looks like, I don't know who. I have no idea. I don't watch those movies. I'm not going to start either, but I've seen the commercials. No, Jesus Christ was not a charismatic leader. Oh, that's, yeah. Judas was the only one that understood him. That's what it said in the Gospel of Judas. Go figure. If I ever wrote the Gospel of Joe, it's going to say I'm very flattering. Really, very flattering things about me. But it's not going to happen. And our Lord was manifest in the flesh. And every single person he spoke to, he spoke the truth, whether they understood it or not. And he explained himself to exactly whom he wanted to explain himself. He told his disciples some things he didn't tell other people. It's written down in here. To you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, it's not given. But he was manifest in the flesh. He took upon the form of a servant. Even though, as the eternal Son, he's still the Lord of all flesh. He's the God. He's God. That God manifest in the flesh is still God manifest in the flesh. He's still God by nature, even while he walked on this earth. Not just by office. He didn't abdicate his godhood when he came down. That's what some teach. And it ain't so. No, God was manifest in the flesh. He was God before he came here. He was God while he's here. Amen. You ever notice that anything he said happened? Everything he said happened. Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? A dead man came to life and came forth. Amen. Still bound in his grave clothes, but he came alive and he came forth. Why? Christ spoke it. He was God manifest in the flesh. You were in a storm on a boat and he said, peace, be still. What happened? There was peace. The wind ceased and it was still. This is God manifest in the flesh. Why would God do such a thing? Why did the Word become flesh and dwell among us? Well, Paul already told us in that I read the beginning of that statement. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, that's exactly what Christ came for. From our point of view, from his point of view, he came for the glory of the Father. Yeah. And part of the glory of the Father is in bringing many sons, what? To glory. Yeah. But from our point of view, from our perspective, he came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The angel told Joseph, call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. God was manifest in the flesh. And in the flesh, God could become the perfect sacrifice for sin. Sin must be punished. Sin will be punished. And that punishment is death. And Christ bore in his body, which was flesh, our sins, and took the punishment we so truly deserved. He was made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem those that were under the law. Redemption. And there is no redemption without blood being shed. There is no redemption without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He died in the flesh. It's not a metaphor. It's not a shadow. It's not a type. The Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, literally died. Suffered and died. And rose again the third day. He made his offering to the Father, and by that one offering, one time, one offering, he sanctified. By that one offering, he perfected forever his people that he chose from before the foundation of the world. By that one offering. And it says, justified in the Spirit. There seems to be some argument. I don't understand why. Whether this means Christ's Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And to that question I say, yes. They are one. He was justified in the Spirit, perfectly acceptable to the Father, perfect in word, perfect in deed, perfect in truth. The Holy Spirit did come down and descend upon him in the form of a dove. And it said, and abode there. John saw it. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Justified in the Spirit. Perfect in every way. Scene of angels. I gotta hurry up. You ever wonder about that part? Why is scene of angels in here with this list? The angels seen him before. Not like this. Not as God manifest in the flesh. Jesus created the angels. The Word that was with God was God, and by him all things were created. Angels are created beings. He created the angels. He was there as the eternal Son with the Father. But when he came here, I looked at that word seen of angels. Walter, it means gaze in wonder. And it also means to see something remarkable. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh is something remarkable to be seen by angels. These angels who see with better eyes than we have saw the King of Glory, who they knew, come down and become flesh. They saw him leave his place in glory from the heights of heaven, and they not only saw him come down to be born in a body of flesh, but they saw him stay here, live here, preach here, publicly speak the complete and utter truth of God to men who hated him and loved darkness. And the angels gazed in wonder at this. Peter said, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And the angels desire to see this, to gaze and wonder at the Creator coming down to dwell with His creation and giving His life for it. Voluntarily. They didn't take His life. They couldn't take His life. Not even close. They tried. It didn't work, but they tried. The angels desire to see this. Preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. I am so glad Paul put this in here, because this is a part of the mystery of godliness, that it was preached to the Gentiles. Salvation is of the Jews, ain't it? Somebody said that. I remember hearing that somewhere. It's in here somewhere. God didn't leave out the Gentiles. That's us. Right here, right now, that's us. He is still preached unto the Gentiles. The Messiah was a Jew. Christ, Jesus, is a Jew.
Yes. Yeah.
You wouldn't know that listening to most Baptist churches. They kind of leave that part out and bring up big purple crosses, you know, inflatable ones. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was a Jew. Not only that, he was a former Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Great is the mystery of godliness. Preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. Now, very carefully, very closely, this is not believed by the world. Okay? Not even close. This is believed on in the world, and there's a big difference in those two statements. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is believed on in the world. Now, the world as an entity has no idea, no hint, who God is, who Christ is, or who the Spirit is. But God manifest in the flesh is believed on in the world by those who have been saved by grace through faith. And that out of themselves.
Yeah.
It's the gift of God. He is believed on in the world. His gospel is received by those He has given life and given faith. Mm-hmm. That's the way He's chose to do it. Great is the mystery of godliness. He could have just planted it in our heads and in our heart. But He didn't. He said, do it this way. Mm-hmm. He said, what? And the Spirit does it this way. Jesus told His disciples, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And the same goes for every single believer in Jesus Christ. You're in the world, you're not of the world. He is believed on in the world. While we're here, we are to believe on Him. Not just later. Received up into glory, bodily.
Yeah.
Bodily. I was reading in Acts 1 this morning at the house. Ye men of Galilee, you men, why you stand up here gazing? This same Jesus that you saw go up is coming back. But they did see him go up. He was received up into glory. Peter preached it after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. This Jesus hath God made both Lord and Christ. And before that, he was quoting the words of David when he said he's going to be seated at the right hand until his enemies be made his footstool. He was received up into glory. God manifest in the flesh has now sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Earl said it, and I believe he was probably the first person I ever remember saying it, but I've never forgot it. There is a man seated in heaven, the man Christ Jesus. He's the God-man, but there's a man seated in the presence of God where there never was a man seated before.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who is to sit at the right hand of the Father. He was received up what? Into glory. He wasn't changed. He has not changed. He is still God manifest in the flesh in heaven.
Right.
And the angels still gaze and wonder. And so do I. If I can think about it. It's a mystery, the mystery of godliness. The worship of God manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery because the world doesn't know it. The princes of this world didn't know him. Otherwise they wouldn't have crucified him. It's a mystery because he cannot be known by the natural man. It's a mystery because it must be revealed to a man and not a natural man.
Right.
The Spirit of God must reveal this. The Spirit of God reveals him. No man can see him or the mystery of godliness except by divine life and divine light. That light, that candlestick in the tabernacle, that's one of the few things that wasn't part wood and part gold. That candlestick's pure gold.
Right.
Because the light that the priest need was from pure divinity.
Yeah.
It has to be the light from above. It has to be the light of God, or you're not going to see anything.
Right.
It's pure light. His light. Christ Jesus, as he truly is unknown to this world. But he's believed on in this world. By the Holy Spirit, life and faith come by grace to those whom he has chosen. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's what it says in Acts. Great is the mystery of godliness. Believe him. Worship him. Love him. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, thankful for you. You have given us everything. We deserve nothing. And yet you've given to your people everything they need and more than they could ever ask for. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.